It's hard to grasp just how stupid the impeachment of Donald Trump was, but understanding Nancy Pelosi helps. A few months ago, the House Speaker bragged, quote, "We can impeach him every day of the week for everything he does." Well, in Nancy Pelosi's demented mind, the Constitution can be used and abused as a political weapon anytime the mood strikes her. That kind of idiocy, coupled with wanton malice, is what drove Nancy Pelosi to engineer two sham impeachments against a man she has long loathed. But her obsessive hatred of Trump has caused incalculable harm. She's cheapened the meaning of the impeachment clause. She's shredded the Constitution. She commandeered it for her own use as a political cudgel. Pelosi is the one who should be removed from office for breaching her sworn duty to uphold the Constitution. She exploited that esteemed document to satisfy her unquenchable thirst for vengeance. Among villains and scoundrels, Pelosi has no peer.
Attorney, Fox News legal analyst, and two-time New York Times best-selling author. This is The Brief with Greg Jarrett.
Hello, everyone. I'm Greg Jarrett, and welcome to The Brief. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how it's literally changed my life. I met Mike Lindell. He fit me for my very own MyPillow, and I haven't stopped raving about it since then. They won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. Made in the USA. If you don't have a MyPillow or know somebody who doesn't, now is the time, because there's a limited time that Mike is offering his premium MyPillows, yes, the one that started it all, for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow regularly $69.98 for only $29.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Buy now, and Mike will extend his 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener's Square. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all of the MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or call 800-605-8765 and use promo code Greg, G-R-E-G-G. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Brief. I'm Greg Jarrett. What happens when a high public official sworn to uphold the Constitution instead tears it asunder? Well, that person is punished by removal from office. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has twice defiled the Constitution by corrupting the impeachment clause in her never-ending quest to punish Donald Trump. She has debased her high office by manufacturing two counterfeit impeachments in her personal crusade against Trump. Pelosi should be evicted from office. But how to do it? Well, historically, members of Congress have been subject to expulsion based on a two-thirds vote. This would be one option for getting rid of Pelosi if Republicans gain control of the House in 2022. But impeaching Nancy Pelosi, that's also an option. She can be treated as a civil officer under the meaning of the Constitution and thus subject to impeachment, exactly as Senator William Blunt was treated in the nation's first impeachment back in 1798. He was first expelled from Congress, then he was impeached. Indeed, Pelosi's House managers repeatedly cited the Blunt case as precedent and authority in their latest impeachment charade against Donald Trump. So, by Nancy Pelosi's own standard, she can be both expelled and impeached. But should Pelosi
be impeached? The answer is quite easy. Absolutely. She breached her duty to uphold the Constitution by abusing it, not once, but twice. Her first sham impeachment of Donald Trump has been well documented. So let's examine the latest farce that once again demonstrates just how the House Speaker will go to any length to misuse and abuse the impeachment clause of the Constitution in her vengeful crusade against Trump. There's a reason that Nancy Pelosi rushed through an impeachment vote without ever holding a single hearing or bothering to respect the requirements of due process. She had no real evidence constituting an impeachable offense. And there's a reason the trial itself in the U.S. Senate was the shortest in American history, a scant 5 days, four of which were only half days. House managers had no real evidence to present. Their single article of impeachment, incitement of insurrection, was a phony pretense, utterly devoid of proof. So what did Pelosi and Democrats do? Well, without conscience, they invented a case by contorting the truth, hiding evidence, and peddling lies. They engaged in shameless deceit and dishonesty and duplicity. On the fourth day of the trial, when Trump's attorneys were finally given a chance to defend against the false accusations, defense attorney David Schoen expose their fraud.
There is significant reason to doubt the evidence the House managers have put before us. Let me say this clearly. We have reason to believe the House managers manipulated evidence and selectively edited footage. We have reason to believe that the House managers created false representations of tweets.
Schoen proceeded to prove it with undeniable evidence. Armed with a collection of visuals, he showed how an important tweet by Donald Trump appeared to have been altered and how an innocent religious word had been changed into a word suggesting armed conflict. Schoen then displayed numerous videos of Trump's speech on the day of the Capitol riots and proved how House prosecutors had cleverly edited the clips to transform exculpatory evidence into seemingly incriminating evidence. The real speech was dramatically different than the speech presented by House Democrats. If this were a real court of law, my goodness, prosecutors would have been held in criminal contempt of court. They'd been tossed in the hooscow. A real judge would have immediately dismissed the case against Trump based on egregious prosecutorial misconduct. The centerpiece of Trump's defense rested on the actual words he used on the day of the riots. House managers deliberately concealed those words during their 2-day presentation of their supposed evidence. Once again, video exposed their malice. Trump was seen telling his supporters to behave peacefully, and to make their voices heard in support of Republicans who were challenging the electoral votes in Congress.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
One of the first things prosecutors learn everywhere is this. Never hide evidence from a jury. Never. Never conceal from the jury exculpatory evidence of the defendant's innocence, especially when you know in advance that the defense attorneys are in possession of that evidence. If a prosecutor doesn't bring it out first and, you know, try to explain it away in the light most favorable to the government, the defense will introduce it and then accuse the prosecution of trying to deceive the jury by covering up vital evidence of innocence. And at that point, of course, the case is lost. It's over. The jury will never believe anything that prosecutor has to say. but House managers Jamie Raskin, Eric Swalwell, Ted Lieu, David Cicilline, Joaquin Castro, Stacey Plaskett, you know, the list goes on and on. They all played videotape after videotape of Donald Trump's speech, and each and every time they willfully and conspicuously edited out the most important part of all, where Trump urged the crowd to behave in a nonviolent and peaceful way. Never once did Donald Trump encourage or advocate violence or destruction of property, as the Democrats broadly and repeatedly asserted. So what did prosecutors do about that? Well, they selectively edited parts of Trump's speech, wholly out of context, and juxtaposed it with video of the protests and despicable violence at the Capitol building. Now, why did prosecutors do that? Well, it was obvious. The House managers wanted to imply or insinuate that Trump had incited the mob. They wanted to create the false impression that Trump encouraged the violence, when in fact, he never did. Not once. Their impeachment charade, said David Schoen, is driven by hatred, vitriol, and political opportunism. In their quest for vengeance against a man they despise, they not only deprived Trump of his due process rights in the House, but they twisted the evidence against him in the Senate trial and lied about what truly occurred. The brilliance of the defense was the use of the real videotape to exonerate Trump. The defense actually beat prosecutors at their own game. The clips presented by the defense showed the shameful hypocrisy of both the managers and Democrats who had absurdly accused Trump of inciting an insurrection by using the terms fight and fight like hell when he was speaking to his crowd of supporters. Now, everybody knows that those words in a political venue are meant metaphorically. Politicians have forever used the word fight in a figurative, not a literal sense. But Nancy Pelosi and her Confederates decided to exploit Trump's use of that word to argue that it was a secret call to arms by Trump, perhaps uttered in code. Who knew that somebody could be dumb enough to make such a laughable claim? Who knew that allegory was an impeachable offense? So, of course, when the defense finally got its turn, they used video, real video, to show that every single House manager and nearly every Democrat in the U.S. Senate had used the exact same words, fight and fight like hell, in their own political speeches. The defense presented a rapid-fire video montage. It actually lasted more than 10 minutes, in which the word fight was used more than 1,000 times. Now, I'm not going to play all of it. You'll get the idea by just listening to a few seconds of it.
We can whine or we can fight back. Me, I'm here to fight back. I'm here to fight back.
But we are going to make sure that this fight does not end tonight.
This is a fight for our lives.
I will fight like hell to fight back against anyone.
We need to say loud and clear that we are ready to fight.
It's a bare knuckles fight.
Now they're going to have to actually fight back.
We will fight back. We're not going to just take this lined up.
I'm just going to keep the fight up.
What we have to do right now is fight as hard as we can.
We have to rise up and fight back.
Continue to fight.
Fight. This is going to be a fight.
We'll also fight him and challenge him in every way that we can.
This is what is our fight right now.
There's the fight, and then there's the fight to defend.
And we just have to fight, but this is a fight for our country.
So you get the picture here. My favorite was Senator Elizabeth Warren, who uttered fight more than 50 times. Vice President Kamala Harris, not to be outdone, seemed to have an addiction to the word fight, invoking it close to 70 times. But the defense didn't stop there. They showed clips of President Joe Biden, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Representative Maxine Waters, and scores of other prominent Democrats hurling rhetoric that was far uglier and incendiary than anything Donald Trump said on January 6th. Some even wished they could punch Trump in the face. Biden envisioned beating him up. Talk about inciting violence. Democrats look like they owned violence.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
The press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish we were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I didn't make a mistake, but they asked me, would I like to debate this gentleman? And I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
You see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
I am sitting here listening, watching, absorbing, thinking about Ali, even though I never met him. And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to, they're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
By their own twisted incitement standard, all those Democrats would be evicted from office. But as Trump lawyer David Chung told senators at the conclusion of that video montage, don't worry, you didn't do anything wrong. Well, Chung was right, at least in a legal sense. Hyperbole is not a crime, nor is it an impeachable offense. Another argument that collapsed like a house of cards on the House managers was their ridiculous claim that Trump condoned the violence after the fact by not voicing more forcefully an immediate condemnation. But wait, what about all the Democrats who seem to tolerate, condone, even encourage the Antifa and BLM violence that consumed American cities last summer? Remember that?
They're not going to stop. And everyone beware.
This is just a snapshot of some of the damage that people will be waking up to.
Going up, but believe clearly.
I'm proud of New York, and I'm proud of the protests.
There is damage everywhere you look. Honestly, it looks like a war zone.
Heartwarming to see so many people turn out peacefully.
They keep doing it day after day after day. Country is a nation of protests. The Patriots were protesters.
St. John's Church is on fire.
Are you disavowed by Mr. Antifa?
That's a myth.
I hope someone burns down your whole precinct with all y'all inside.
It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
So once again, Trump's lawyers beat prosecutors at their own video game. The defense used those words by Democrats who either approved of the street violence or refused to condemn it, and spliced it together with video scenes of the appalling violence itself. Assaults, batteries, looting, vandalism, arson, wholesale destruction of property that occurred week after week, day after day, over a bloody summer. By the time viewers finished watching that videotape, Democrats looked like they were card-carrying members of Antifa. Finally, the defense team handily destroyed the prosecutor's silly argument that Donald Trump should be convicted because he spent 2 months wrongfully telling his supporters that the election was rigged or stolen. Democrat House managers seem to have forgotten that pesky little document called the Bill of Rights. You know, the First Amendment, that free speech thing. In America, and Democrats try to pay attention here, we have a constitutional right to be wrong. We have a right to express mistaken beliefs. We don't punish foolish opinions or misguided convictions. Disagreeable speech in America is protected speech, just as hateful speech is legally protected under the First Amendment. And again, Donald Trump may have been wrong to claim the election was stolen, but he had a right to say it. And wait a minute. Aren't some Democrats guilty of the exact same thing in past elections? You know, refusing to concede or claiming it's a stolen election. Didn't Democrats and the media spend the better part of the last 4 years falsely accusing Donald Trump of colluding with Russians to steal the 2016 election, what turned out to be the Russia hoax, the greatest mass delusion in American political history? Didn't Democrats and the liberal mainstream media peddle that hoax? In case they'd forgotten, Trump's defense team took senators on a stroll down memory lane, showing them video clips of numerous Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi and failed presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, the inventor of the Russia hoax, challenging the integrity of a past election.
If Stacey Abrams doesn't win in Georgia, they stole it. It's clear. It's clear. And I would say, I say that publicly, it's clear.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
He knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did.
Votes remain to be counted. There are voices that were waiting to be heard.
And I will not concede.
Respect, and I respect where you're coming from, and I respect the issues that you're raising. You're not answering the question. Do you think it was? You're not using the word legitimate.
There are still legitimate concerns over the integrity of our elections and of ensuring the principle of one person, one vote.
It's really hard to wrap your head around Nancy Pelosi picking someone like Jamie Raskin, of all people, to impeach Trump for supporting the Republican effort in Congress to challenge the electoral results. Deja vu. 4 years earlier, Raskin pulled the exact same maneuver. You remember, in 2017, Raskin standing on the floor of the House and contesting the electoral vote and the seating of Donald Trump as president. And so did a bunch of other Democrats. And then Vice President Joe Biden hammered the gavel and told them to stuff it.
What purpose is Member Wright?
I have an objection because 10 of the 29 electoral votes cast by Florida were cast by electors not lawfully certified because they violated Florida's prohibition against dual office holding.
Debate is out of order. Section 15 and 17 of the Title III of the United States Code require that any objection be presented in writing, signed by both members of the House of both a member of the House of Representatives and a senator. Is the objection in writing and signed not only by the member of the House of Representatives, but also by a senator?
It is in writing, Mr. President.
Is it signed by a senator?
Not as of yet, Mr. President.
In that case, the objection cannot be entertained.
For 3 long days, Jamie Raskin and his House colleagues trashed Trump for inciting violence. Then, in a moment of uncommon candor, Raskin conceded that Democrats could not meet the legal standard of incitement required under the law, but said, "We don't have to, because this is an impeachment," explained Raskin. In other words, Congress can do whatever it wants, even abandon established legal principles if they happen to fancy it. I've got news for Jamie Raskin. He's wrong. The Supreme Court, for example, has said that due process rights apply to impeachment. Due process is the law. And Trump was deprived of all of his due process rights when the House voted to impeach without a hearing, without presenting evidence, without allowing Donald Trump to defend himself against the charge. But beyond that, the Constitution itself provides an important legal framework for impeachment trials, that is, high crimes and misdemeanors. It was fundamentally wrong for Democrats to simply discard all legal principles in the impeachment of Donald Trump. The truth is, Democrats failed abysmally to prove a case of incitement because they had no real evidence of incitement. So when that became apparent, they simply said, as Raskin did, "So what? We can do what we want." If Trump really committed incitement, he would have been charged under criminal law once he became a private citizen. But he wasn't, and he won't be, because his words and his actions don't come remotely close to meeting the definition of incitement under the law. So when Pelosi and Democrats argued incitement, in truth, it was just a farce. This is the sick mentality that now pervades Congress controlled by Democrats, and Nancy Pelosi is to blame. She and her sycophants spent 4 years claiming that everything Donald Trump did was an impeachable offense.
It is a matter of fact that the president is an ongoing threat to our national security and the integrity of our elections.
President Trump's wrongdoing and the urgent threat that his actions present to our next election and our democracy.
We have overwhelming evidence that this president poses an urgent threat to our elections, to our national security, and to the rule of law.
We must not delay. The longer we wait, the more time we allow for this president to do irreparable harm to our country and our democracy.
Why are we proceeding? That's very simple. Because nothing could be more urgent.
I will vote in favor of impeachment of Donald J. Trump, not as a partisan act, but as a serious, urgent, and necessary one.
To the members of the House and to my fellow citizens, I want to be absolutely clear. The integrity of our next election is at stake. Nothing could be more urgent.
When we talk about the speed of it, is that this is a continuing criminal enterprise that's going on. If the urgency...
It's a clear and present danger, I think, to our democracy.
Urgency of the issue. Like, we have to act now. Like, it's now.
Well, is that part of the...
We don't have time to screw around.
...is a clear and present danger to our free and fair elections.
It's about urgency.
Pelosi and Democrats constantly threaten Trump with impeachment. And in the end, they impeached him twice on exaggerated and fictive offenses that were no offenses at all. Each time, the outcome proved to be a humiliating defeat for Nancy Pelosi. The House Speaker has been both ruthless and cunning in her hold on power. And she has wielded that power like a tyrant. She cares not a whit about the law or the Constitution. In fact, she holds the Constitution in contempt. It is Nancy Pelosi who should be removed from office either through expulsion or impeachment or both for her disgraceful abuse of power. But is Pelosi ultimately to blame for damaging our institutions of government and the Constitution itself? Well, not entirely. You see, voters are equally to blame. They're the ones who elected Democrats and gave them control of Congress. They're the ones who ensured that Pelosi would remain in power. They enabled her to abuse that power. In the end, you reap what you sow, or as Thomas Jefferson once said, the government you elect is the government you deserve. Jefferson was right, and we deserve a whole lot better than Nancy Pelosi. That's The Brief. I'm Greg Jarrett. Thanks for listening.